is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 878. My name is Lisa Sheps. I am joined by the beautiful, the lovely, the talented, the all the other words, co-host of mine, Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to the two of us at KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This puppy streams live at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, May 27th. On the show today, we have Glass Half Full and their show, Frutos de la Muerte. And then later on, we have Half Baked Shakes and their show, Midsummer Night's Dream. And of course, we have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Houston, Dallas, El Paso, and Waco. Don't go away. Okay. All Texas show today.
Apparently.
I don't know why I did that.
I don't know. You never do that.
I never do that. That's the very first time.
But apparently you did.
It is. And it's a lie, because it's not an All Texas show today. So nobody's ever accused me of telling the fibs. Checking in with you, Nicole Shiro.
I'm here.
Oh, me too. I need to tell the world that you and your brother, Casey, gave me some olive oil.
Yes, my mother and I adopted an olive oil tree for my brother a couple of years ago, and four times a year he gets the fruits of the tree's labor, and we have so many things of olive oil, we like to share them with people who would like to cook and use it.
What is the tree's name?
Oh, I don't know, but I get lovely pictures and notes from the two gentlemen that take care of the tree all the time. There is a name at the tree, I forgot.
I have a suggestion.
What?
Olive oil. All right. Go ahead.
I'll have to ask bro where that's from. But yes, he sent me with some olive oil from you.
Okay.
For
lovely.
You.
Well, thank you. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us right now. We have Christian Mendez Aguirre.
It was gonna happen.
You know, I can pronounce things until I go on the air.
Uh-huh. And
then I can't. Christian, how are you?
Hi, I'm very happy to be here.
And we have Delina Bradley. Hi, Delina.
Hello.
Hello. Wait, why am I not hearing you? Say something.
Something.
Oh, you know what? There are certain microphones that don't go into my headphones for some reason.
For real?
I don't know why.
I don't either.
All right. I need to say this that the opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air, not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, its volunteers, its staff, its underwriters, or anybody even that just walks in the door. It's nobody's opinions but my own.
I love that you remembered at the beginning of the
show
today.
I did. I'm worried that, you know, because we get graded, and I'm worried that they won't wait till the end of the show to check on me, and then I'll get my wrist
slapped. Well, we do it every time, so I mean, we're good.
We do well.
We try not to cause problems.
This is true. So did you recognize that piece of music that I played?
It's an
coming
oldie.
Into it. It's an oldie. That's clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's from a show called 17.
Oh.
It is a musical from. Oh God, 1951, I played it because today is the last day of our 17th year on the air.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, we go into our next season next week, which is our 18th year. Yeah,
wow.
We've been doing this for a while. Wait,
the small old ladies we are.
So, like, y'all are not even 18 years old.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Okay.
The show can vote.
But that's why I played it. And you know, it's,
that's so funny. The show can vote.
Show can vote. Yeah. Show can't. The show can vote. The show can go die for their country.
Yeah.
But they can't drink.
No.
Or rent a car.
Nope.
You know, that song is actually rather cute. But if you listen to the lyrics, won't really stand up to time.
No, it's maybe that's why 17 hasn't been revived.
Yeah, that's true.
Or we hear of it.
Well, 17, actually, let's see what it is.
Who wrote it? Who wrote the music?
It was lyrics are by Kim Gannon, music by Walter Kent. Mm. Book is Sally Benson. Mm. It was written about from a
Sally Benson. That's a fun
book.
Name to say.
Played the Broadhurst Theater back in the day.
Oh, we love the Broadhurst.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see. It doesn't say much about it. It detailed the puppy love romance between... Okay, right away we start with problems. 17-year-old Willie Baxter and the flirtatious Lola Pratt, and they were played by Kenneth Nelson and Anne Crowley. Ran for 182 performances. It's a lot.
It's a lot for
that time.
Yeah. So that's why I played it.
Sounds like it's ripe for a reconstructed revival.
Maybe.
Could
reconstructed
be.
Would
knows?
Be the most important thing.
Yes, emphasis on the reconstruction.
Yeah. So are we looking forward to the Tonys or not?
No. I mean, I want to know who won some stuff, but yeah, no. Yeah.
Well, they announced the...
performances.
Yeah.
Well, that's not where I was going, but
thank you for finishing
my sentence. That was the second thing I was going to talk about. They announced the performances, but you know what? No big surprise. The only performances they announced were the nominated
shows. So I was like, well, I don't know why you put a press release out for this, because those are what you do.
Right.
And all the other ones will be announced later.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Big shocker. Yeah.
Are y'all Tony watchers? No.
Occasionally, yeah.
No.
For me, it's show specific. I think there's shows that I root for. Like, I was really excited for the Jellicle Ball. I was curious to see how they were going to do. And
they will be performing.
Yes, exactly. And I was excited that they got so many shout outs. Queen Jean also. I was excited about Queen Jean's double nomination for both.
But not to freak you out, it won't be a typical Tony. Do you know who's hosting this year, right?
Pink.
Yes.
Pink. Yeah.
Because that, you know, she's such theater credits. It makes so much sense.
Yeah. I wouldn't have said Pink. That
no.
Sort of feels like, yeah.
Yeah, it's
right. It feels like they're pandering to try to get other people to tune in.
You think so? Really?
Yeah.
Maybe.
No,
again, I have nothing against Pink. I think
can't
she's lovely. I know people love her. Like, I think that's great. There is a total disconnect and disrespect for artists.
And she's been pretty transparent, too, about just like, it's not, you know, I'm not a theater person. Like, I think her daughter.
But it's not her fault that she got chosen.
It's not her fault, but she also is a good human that should have been like, this doesn't make sense. Maybe I should do it with, or what about this? Like,
true.
She took a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Agree. Look at us agreeing again.
Yeah, no.
Well, but as
not
you,
cool.
As you know, the Tonys, the airing of the Tonys is a split performance. They have the live thing on CBS at 8:00 Eastern time.
And
but before that,
they're theater people hosting.
But before that,
they're theater.
I'm
people.
Just gonna give up and let you do it.
I didn't say who they were and took it away. I'm just saying.
You're gonna say who they are.
No, I'm not. I'll let
Please.
You do it. But I'm just saying.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
They're theater people.
So anyway, bearing the lead, there is the. Pre-show, which happens on Pluto TV, and they are indeed theater people. I'm really excited about these people, aren't you?
Yes, I don't know why they're not hosting the Tonys.
I agree.
Then have Pink do the pre stuff.
Okay, I think we've processed the Pink stuff for today.
I'm just saying they could have switched it.
It is Laura Benanti and Titus Burgess.
Oh, great! Yeah,
that's a little bit more on theme.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Delina, can I get you to get right up on the microphone? Thank you. So that's good. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm more looking forward to the pre-show on Pluto TV.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that I got. I think I have to.
It's
get
an
the
easy
Pluto
app. You can get it.
Yeah.
I have
it
on my on
Everybody
Roku.
Can get it.
You can watch it from your browser too if you don't want to download the app.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they make it very easy to use.
It'll be curious to see. What happens at the Tonys?
I'd like to know how much ratings go up. This would be funny.
I don't think they will.
No,
anyway,
I don't either.
I don't
so. So this is something you sent me, and not a lot of information on it, but there is going to be an immersive production of a show called Life on Mars.
Oh, yes.
Which is inspired by David Bowie, and it's directed by Diane Paulus.
Everything about
American
this is
Repertory
fantastic.
Theater. But they don't say anything about the show itself other than it's based on... music of Bowie.
And they got approval from the family and the estate.
And it's immersive.
Yeah.
But what does that mean?
Well, that's the whole thing. That's a great publicist. They tease you, keep you talking, wondering about it, and then they have more information to crumb trail and share as they go along. I love everything about that. Why? I love everything about it because it's Bowie.
And Diane Paulus.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when you add Diane Paulus and this and that. But they mention like 7 times in every article, and the Bowie estate has signed off on this. I'm like, we didn't have to say it like 10
Once
times.
Was good.
We got it.
So the strange thing in the article I read on it, it said, there was a paragraph that said, Life on Mars marks the latest adaptation tied to Bowie's catalog. Mm. And then I thought logically the next sentence would talk about what life on Mars is. But no, they went on to talk about for the rest of the paragraph talking about Lazarus, which was the last show that mm-hmm. he did that was on Broadway.
Not funny, he's had 2 credits because he's also has credits in SpongeBob. Because he wrote a song
That's
for
right.
SpongeBob.
Oh, did he? But that, yeah. there are a million people wrote totally songs for her.
I know, yeah, but just let's think about like.
Christian, really a
David,
million?
David okay. Bowie has 2 credits.
Not misrepresent.
For Lazarus and SpongeBob the Musical. It's just funny in context when you stop to think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited. I feel like immersive is perfect Bowie. I feel like Diane Paulus is perfect. I don't know. So, I'll be watching.
And where is this going up?
Oh, ART.
ART in
ART.
Boston.
Okay, in Boston. Yeah.
I guess I could give you there are dates involved. I think it's coming up soon. Mm-hmm. Life on Mars. It is. Oh, darn it!
I forgot.
Next May. Next so a year May. From now, yeah. It's not coming up.
It'll be interesting too. I know Diane wasn't directing it, but ART just did that Florence Welch led Gatsby because we needed another one.
Yeah.
Which apparently I didn't get to see it, but apparently it did not land very well. So it'll be interesting to see how they do another sort of high profile.
There was dueling Gatsbys at the time Gatsby's. Is part of the problem.
And the current one or the Broadway version. Not crazy about.
Yeah, but there's dueling Gatsby's, but they're also like, they remounted the Florence Welch one in London with Martina, or they're working on it again, but the entire creative team is new.
Yeah.
And so,
but
yeah.
Part of their problem was they were opening and mounting exactly as the same time as the other Gatsby. Like, yeah. that's why running. It was dueling. Yeah. Like, Gatsby became public domain,
yes.
so everybody wanted a piece of it.
Exactly, yeah.
But why you would both compete for the same audience exactly at the same time makes no sense.
Yeah. Makes no sense. So I'm very excited about this one. I may be a minority of one here. There's a new musical that is called Industrial Strength, and it is based on industrial musicals, which is
which
the industry I made my living in for some 30
well,
years.
You were the lady that basically started that whole thing.
Yeah, not quite, but I'll take it.
You're a pioneer of that.
Anyway, so this is written by Steve Young. Steve Young had the book Everything's Coming Up Prophets. And also, I believe he was part of the documentary team that did Bathtubs Over Broadway, talking about this business. And this is talking about musicals, Broadway-style musicals, but for industry. For instance, I always talk about, like, if you were a car company, it would be instead of someone that's singing about their love for another person, it would be they're singing their love about a car. Huh. And then at the end of the song, the car would drive out. There'd be dancing people all around it. And then after that, the CEO would come out and talk about the car. Some of them did. And back in the day, you would do these huge book musicals. I did an arena show for State Farm.
Wow.
Which was all based on The Natural, the Robert Redford movie, mm-hmm. where we actually, it was like, a huge, you know, we did a six-week run of it, and it was filled, you know, a 40,000-foot arena.
Wow.
40,000-person arena. So it's a big, big business, and not to drop a name, but the Hall had Broadway people. Cantor and Ebb wrote a few. I worked several
Greatest
times. I did
American
several shows.
Composing duo.
I did several shows with Susan Stroman. Before she was Susan Stroman. Huh. So anyway, this is they're having a development reading in New York, June 8th and 9th by invitation only. It's being directed by Stuart Ross. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Industrial strength.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's industrial awesome. Strength. I would go to it if I was in New York, but I'm not.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because I'm in Austin.
Yes, you are.
Texas. All right. O'Mary in the West End.
Yep, it's happening.
Well, it's there already.
I know, but you saw who's...
I did.
You saw that, right?
You know everything.
That Cole is going back.
Cole is not going back, going to
London.
Sorry. Yeah.
Going back in the show, but in a different continent, on a different stage.
And for 4 weeks only, right?
Yeah, I think it's limited.
July 20th to August 15th. Or, as this article has it, 20 July to 15 August.
Yes, right, because you have to turn around. I know, I'm mad because I'm like... They're like, 2 weeks later for Paddington? So I'm like, really? I could have gone. But maybe Cole will hold it over. Then sure I could get Paddington and O'Mary.
There you go.
Has anybody seen O'Mary?
Yes.
You saw it? Did you see it with Cole?
Yes. It was pretty spectacular. Yes. Yeah.
Well, maybe talk to Cole and tell Cole to stick around.
Yeah. No, it's great fun. And it's, you know, it's short. It's like 90 minutes. Yep. So a lot of people have see it between other shows. But yeah, it's good fun.
So what do we think about Girl Interrupted? The book, the movie? Oh, that was a reaction.
Hmm? I mean... I like that movie.
It's Delaney been, like, just made a huge facial reaction.
How do you feel about it as a musical?
As a musical.
Because that's Dreams what they're musical. Doing to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean.
Did they not just see Beaches already close quickly?
But wait, before you hate on it, it's being written by Martina Mayoc for the Public Theater.
Mm.
And the music is by Amy Mann.
Brandon Harris wrote the book to Purple Rain, still didn't make it the best thing ever.
Well, but I mean, you take a property like Next to Normal, you wouldn't think that would make a good musical, but it did. So you never know.
That's true.
Yeah. Good team.
Juliana Canfield is going to do it. And the pop star, I'm guessing y'all know this person, I do not, King Princess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They opened for Florence Welch, speaking of. Yeah.
Delaney, did you know that person too?
The name rings a bell, but okay. I'm not.
Yeah, not me. Well, good. I wanted to not be alone. Anyway, it's going to open on June 4th. So it's coming right up.
Pretty soon, it's happening.
At the Public Theater. So there you go. Let's see. We're almost done with my whole list. I didn't think I was going to get this far.
I know. I sent you a lot of stuff. You only picked one thing.
You sent me two things, dos cosas, and I chose one. What was the other thing you sent?
I don't remember. I don't either. I sent you like 10 things.
Let's see. Other Desert Cities is being revived with this incredible cast.
Julia.
Pardon me?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I don't think you pronounce the S.
Oh.
Which is crazy.
Oh, Ed I remember Harris. What the other thing was. But you keep going. Sorry.
Ed Harris. Allison Janney. Oh wait, there's some other people.
Joe Keery
and Lily Rabe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's an incredible
cast. Stinking good cast. That's pretty,
yeah,
is what
that's
that
gonna
is.
Sell pretty quickly.
It's an SGC. Yeah. Stinking good cast.
Yep.
I just hope that ticket prices are not outrageous.
They will be.
A la
Othello. It's on Broadway.
They will be.
No, but like even within Broadway, like Othello was insane. Like.
They're all insane.
Yeah.
They're all insane. Thank you, Hamilton. Insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hamilton did that to us.
Mm-hmm.
So the previews start on September 29th, opens October 18th. It's playing at the Hudson Theater. Limited engagement currently through January of 2027.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've seen Other Desert Cities. Anybody? Mm-mm. Shaking your head does not work on the radio.
No. Years and years ago, because I mean, what was it out? 80s, right? Last 80s.
It does not say when.
A young one, but I saw it.
And it's Julia's Broadway debut, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not wild.
That's exciting.
That is funny. I noticed that you're on a first name basis with her. Y'all friends?
In my dreams. In my dreams, I've introduced her show. The New Adventures of Old Christine to a few friends of mine that, you know, like Seinfeld show. And Veep, but maybe missed that one. And I like it more than the other two, but
that's funny. Yeah.
She did something on I think she did some. Oh, yeah, she did something on the Colbert final performance where she came on and she did some bit in the in as Selena Meyer as the character.
Got it.
That's the end of that story. All right, the last thing I want to talk about is Lea Michele and her power to close chess. I find that disappointing somehow.
What was the timeline of that? When did she announce and when did they announce the show?
They announced it like yesterday.
Tuesday.
Or, yeah, yesterday.
It was yesterday. So originally they actually had Joanna Levesque was set to go in and she was going to play through September.
Wow.
And then on Tuesday they announced that Lea Michele is leaving the show on June 21st, and that will be the last performance of the show.
They're closing wow. the show the same.
It's a little bit, not for the same reasons, but it's similar to last year when they announced that Tony's and Redwood did not get any. Within like 6 hours, Redwood was like, and we're
yep.
done.
Yep.
Well, and we're closing.
A lot of, you know, and I think Lea Michele not getting a nomination might have had a little bit to do with mm-hmm. not getting a bump because you don't yeah. get that bump.
Yeah.
You don't get that bump. We, you know.
I mean, I'm going to say it, and I said it when she didn't get the nomination. This is on the material. This is on the show. I love the music for Chess. I think Chess is a fun show. Chess is not a really well-written show. It doesn't matter that you put some Band-Aids on it and reworked it and put it out on there. It's not this great show. So I'm not surprised by any of this, unfortunately.
Well, there you go. Anyway, so I think that's it. Death Becomes Her also had the same thing. They're
closing
on June 28th.
But it ran for years. That didn't like Chess hasn't even been open but a couple months.
No.
So
yeah,
no
big difference. And it's on tour. Chess is not going on tour.
Yep.
Death Becomes Her is already touring.
Yep.
Or getting ready to mount. So
correct. We're just talking about the sad state of musicals and not recouping, not coming close to recouping. That's going to be it for this section. We're going to run away and take a little break, and we're going to listen to Lea Michele singing Nobody's Side from the Broadway musical Chess. We will be right back.
I don't have the nerve to leave.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. And now we're going to reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're here. And this is the folks from Glass Half Full Theater and their show Frutos de la Muerte. And we have Cristian Mendez Aguirre.
Hi.
And Jelena Bradley. Hi, you two.
Hello.
Hello.
Cristian, you are a co-artistic director of Glass Half Full, and you are the director of this piece.
Yes, I am.
In case you didn't know.
Thank you. Yes, I am. And it's a bit historic because it's the first time that a Glass Half Full show is directed by a new director.
Someone other than Caroline Reck.
Who is well-loved and known around the city of Austin for the work that the company has done. But yeah, it's the first time, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize she had not, she had directed everything else other than that.
That's what she said, yeah.
So she must like you.
I think so. And trust me also. Yeah. But yeah.
So this piece is a devised piece.
Yes, it is.
As many of the things that Glass Half Full does.
Everything.
And has had a little history.
Yeah.
So tell us about the show. What is it?
At its simplest, it is about a woman and her aunt in a storage unit and fungi. That's the simplest take on it. And then the fungi are sort of...
By fungi, you meaning a male-identified person that's enjoyable?
No.
Oh, okay.
Although there is one of those in the in the show.
There's a character, just not...
So there's some mushrooms in this.
Mushrooms, yeah. Yeah. And going into
and
this,
some
like...
And mold,
yeah. Okay. We've learned a lot about how to talk about fungi, and because mm-hmm. mushrooms are only the fruit of the whole being,
because okay.
They have like a whole thing underground called mycelium, and so that's why we're like, it's about fungi instead of it's about mushrooms.
Got it.
But yeah, and the show started actually when I joined Glass Half Full 2 years ago. I kind of brought the show with me because the show, I in a very kismetic way, was born after Delina and I and our colleague Minerva worked on a play about trees. And after we did, it was a play about a Christmas tree and lots of other fun things. But after that, Minerva and Delina were like, let's make a show about fungi. And I was like, it took me a sec to be convinced because I did not connect with fungi right off the bat.
Do you feel connected now?
A couple months, yeah. For sure.
It's... Yes.
And when you say Minerva, you're talking about Minerva Villa?
Correct.
Oh, lovely.
The one and only. Yeah.
And she's in this as well, correct?
No, she was on
her name on something recently.
She's been busy. She's been doing a couple of readings and things around town. But no, she's not in it. She was involved as a deviser and writer early on.
Maybe that's what I saw.
Yeah, but she's not in the final cast. But yeah, that's a little bit of the overview of the story. It's devised like everything that Glass Half Full does, and there's puppets and puppetry
wouldn't
of objects.
Wouldn't be
Glass Half Full without a puppet.
Wouldn't be Glass Half Full without a puppet. And without also just like really thinking about how does the puppet serve the story, and how is the story informed by the puppet. And so, yeah.
Can you tell us about, I love the puppetry that shows up in Glass Half Full's pieces. Like I remember, it might've been Yamel Kukui that had the sofa was a puppet.
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, you also the bird, but I like some of the creative ways y'all use puppetry. Can you tease us with some of the fun puppets you might be having in this particular production?
Can we tease? I think a little bit. So fungi are puppeteered, of course.
Of course.
We're in a storage unit and there are personal belongings of people who are no longer with us. And some of those come alive through puppet ways.
I feel like the puppets, they really embody, what do we call it? The fungal beyond.
The fungal beyond.
Yes. I like that.
The fungal beyond. That. Yeah. And there's more, but to explain what it is would give away some of the show. So there's some puppet fungi surprises.
Surprises.
Yes. Lovely. All well, right. So and I guess if you're in the storage unit and there's fungi around there, and there would be a fungus among us.
Correct. But not the video game.
Is there a video game?
Called Among Us, yeah.
Oh,
it was like
know.
Really big in the pandemic.
Okay. Delina, you are not only one of the original devisers. Was it just the three of you that devised this, or was there a group of people?
Oh, no. There was six of seven.
It's fluctuated a lot.
Six, seven?
Yes. No.
Speaking of things popular with young people.
Oh,
but so you are one of the devisers, but you are also the costume and scenic designer for this
correct.
Piece.
Yes. Yeah. That's my professional background.
tell us about that. Tell us what we can expect to see physically in the space.
Oh boy.
From a costume and a scenic perspective.
Yeah, costumes and scenic. You know, the storage unit is sort of greater than it seems at first. Mm-hmm. So I'll give that little hint. Can we talk about the fungal machine?
Yeah.
You just did.
Yeah. There's a fungal machine that, it's not a character, but it's in my heart.
It's a presence. Yeah.
It's a presence in my heart. And I'll leave it at that. But
yes, you have me curiouser and curiouser, said Alice to the caterpillar.
Yeah. Yes. I'm a big lover of sci-fi. So there's a lot of, inspiration from, various sci-fi stories too.
Yeah, and I would say too, the machine, it like the play kind of blends elements, a little bit of elements from sci-fi, a little bit of elements from like straight up naturalism and realism. And then of course the more surreal elements that are like, because it's fungi, we don't have to use the necessarily record to the theatrical device of like, and this is happening somewhere, and we let the audience connect it. Like the spine of the show are fungi and a trip that happens after the consumption of certain fungi.
So did the company design the puppets, or was it Caroline that designed the puppets?
Caroline's our lead puppet designer. Yeah.
And LPD, we call those.
Yes, exactly. LPD.
Industry term. Yeah.
It's an industry term.
And she's, and she's really like taken, we have folks with a range of experiences, like one of our lead performers, Griselda, who's been with Glass Half Full from the beginning.
Yeah.
Then we have folks who are new to puppetry. We have folks who are new to Glass Half Full. And so she's really kind of created an environment where folks can kind of learn how to work with different styles of puppetry for the show. But yeah.
So most of the shows I've seen that Glass Half Full has done has a bend towards more family-oriented stuff. Is this the same deal? Do we want to bring the whole family to this show?
14 plus, I think we're saying.
14 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I was going to say,
it's like, no PG-13, you're nope. not getting in. 14.
Okay, yes. High school or nothing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's like a fungal version of family, which can be so expansive and confusing and not straightforward. So that's...
Yeah, and I think for me too, some of those ratings for ages, I feel like it also depends on the child, you know, because the
100 and the parent,
yeah. and the parents. The parent is okay with, and so yeah, but yeah, a lot of our other shows are sort of really...
there might be some issues that would bring up conversations.
100%
good,
yes.
which is good, which is apropos in what I'm typically used to seeing with Glass Half Full. You've got this stuff for family, but it doesn't talk down to the family.
No.
Right. It brings up issues that will bring up questions for the family to discuss later, which is the point of theater.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. When do you guys open this show?
June 4th.
June 4th.
At 8 p.m. at a theater. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called, it's this theater around town called Ground Floor Theater.
Unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Unfamiliar, but I'm sure it's lovely.
It's pretty great.
And it plays through when?
June 13th.
Great. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Yeah. Should people want more information, you can find it at glasshalffulltheater.com. And it's theater with R-E.
But don't need to say that's my
right
audience.
Way. We just let them know when it's E-R.
Yeah. Like Zach Theater, E-R.
Right.
Oh, that's a recent thing.
I know it's a recent
Not
thing.
On
that's,
me.
That's why I said that.
Yeah.
Well, great. Thank you all so much for coming to see to be with us. And I'm looking. Oh, wait. Yes.
I have one last
down.
Thing.
Please.
So one thing too that we wanted to sort of offer to our audiences is that so the show is called Frutos de la Muerte. That title is in Spanish.
Yes, it is. Oh, thank you for bringing this up.
Yeah. But the play is very intentionally written to be accessible, like. A lot of other Glass Half Full shows, like, is written to be accessible for folks who are bilingual or who only speak English. And I think if you only speak Spanish, you can also follow, might be a little harder, but yes. And so Frutos de la Muerte, in case, it translates to the fruits of death. And we're kind of really leaning on the fruits part rather than the death part, although the death part is important. But yeah, we felt it was important to call it that, but please don't let the title scare you. You will be... Great.
Didn't scare me so much, no, I forgot to even mention it.
Amazing.
Well, great. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show. I look forward to seeing it. And I know I will see this because it's my theater.
You're there.
Yeah.
Right.
Great. Wonderful. That was Cristian Mendez Aguirre and Delina Bradley, both with Glass Half Full Theater and their show Frutos de la Muerte, playing June 4th through the 13th. For more information, you may visit glasshalffulltheater.com. And I was trying to think what to play, and it seemed from what I read about it is this journey about coming home. So I thought what might be fun is from In the Heights, When You're Home. We will be right.
I actually like that.
Every
choice.
Now and then I do it. We'll be right back.
Come with me.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello, hello, hello.
I can't wait to see that show. I have to tell my audience that Glass Half Full shows are always filled with such joy. And
wonder and amazement are always words I think of when I think of them.
And macabre.
And macabre, but yet joyful also at the same time. So,
see, come on. Oh.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. I am
they
looking
do really
forward
cool
to seeing
stuff.
It. So I want...
They're good people.
I want to... Let's switch to our local spot right now. I wanted to point out that Zach Theater is doing an amazing thing. And that is they're opening up their space, their event space on Mondays at no cost to nonprofits to use. And that's in their lobby and their bar. And that's very good and kind of... quasi out of character for them, and I'm glad they're doing it.
I don't know why you would say that, but
well, it's
okay.
True. It is because it's true.
Not really, but okay.
I know we disagree on that, but it's true. Anyway, so that's a great thing, and they've got this event space that they're going to offer out to the community on Mondays.
Yes. Where would folks go to find more of that information, Lisa?
ZachTheater.org.
Yes.
And that's,
I think there's a backslash, like, meeting. Yeah, but you could probably
find it. I don't see a. It just says, or you can email mondays@zacktheater.org. All right, good. Let's do our little calendar.
Let's do it.
Shall we? Sure. I'll start.
Okay.
We have Zack Theater. They're doing Dear Evan Hansen through the 31st of this month.
That's this weekend. We just had on Glass Half Full Theater with Frutos de la Muerta, and that's playing at Ground Floor Theater.
Through the
15th or 13th. 13th?
Yep, I did not put the date in that. That's shame on me. And then we have Austin Playhouse. They've got two things happening. Irma Bombeck at Wits End is playing through the 7th. And then we have Seared, which is opening on June 5th through the...
Oh, no. At Wits End is extended. It's running through June 14th.
Oh,
Irma Bombeck.
Going through June 14th.
Yep, so now through the 14th.
And that's in their smaller space, because at the same time... in their
studio stage.
In their main stage is Seared, which is opening on June 5th and plays the 28th. They'll be here soon on our show.
Yes, hopefully next week. We'll see. And we just had them on last week, Kung Fu Cowgirl Light, a solo Chinese play, A Family in Hope, playing the 28th through June 6th.
The stage Austin. Oh, that's happening at the stage
That's
Austin.
At the stage Austin. Okay. It was...
Yep. There's a semicolon there. Shouldn't have been there. Shouldn't have been there. Jarrett Productions has Destination. They're playing through the 31st.
Alchemy Theater with the Robber Bridegroom, playing the 29th through the 14th of June.
And that is at Zack Theater's...
Wizenhunt.
I get those two mixed up all the time. Penfold Theater, they'll be on soon with their remount of Vincent, starring the founders of Penfold Theater, plays June 4th through the 21st.
Georgetown Palace has Jesus Christ Superstar, playing the 29th of May through... July 5th.
And?
Every Brilliant Thing, playing June 19th through July 19th.
Dirty Gold Theater has Insomnia Cafe, playing June 4th through the 13th at the Stage Austin.
And City Theater is doing A Raisin in the Sun, June 12th through the 28th.
And finally, we have our auditions. We have the citywide auditions happening this weekend. I don't know if it's too late to sign up for them, but they happen the 30th and the 31st. But you would find information at atxtheater.org. Georgetown Palace has auditions for, and then there were none on the 14th. Kung Fu Cowgirl is having auditions for Kung Fu Cowgirl, the musical.
Yes, I'm excited about the musical when she told us about that.
Those auditions are on June 1st. Working Poets has more auditions for their double feature on June 6th, Star Bandit Foundation is auditioning for the Stargaze Theater Festival on June 6th. And Zahir Productions is auditioning for The Egg on June 21st. And then I just found out about this today. City Theater is doing Avenue Q. Their auditions are going to be somewhere between June 15th and June 18th. Go to citytheateraustin.org to find out information about that.
I see Avenue Q the other day. That's funny.
I like Avenue Q. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing a lot of Avenue Q stuff on the TikToks.
It's in the...
It's happening on the West
it's
End.
It's over... Yeah, I was about to say because it's been revived on the West End, so it's hot and out there right now.
Yeah, there was a whole thing on TikTok by the woman that plays Gary Coleman in a local production, not in some production in the United States, who had a suit against the director and producer. And she did about a 10-minute long discussion about what that is. And she included, to her credit, the statement on the other side. This is what the other side is saying. So it was very fair, I thought. Okay, so let's do Today in Theater History.
Tell me about the stuff that happened.
Well, that's if I can find... There it is. I found it. Okay, let's talk about the birthdays first. Dee Dee Bridgewater, who I don't know. Do you?
Anybody? Why do I feel like I had that name?
This is what she looks like.
Look at Dee Dee.
Nope.
Yeah, but I know her from something.
Yeah, me too. Adam Cantor's birthday. And Richard Schiff.
We saw Adam Cantor in the noir, remember?
We did see him in the noir.
Yeah.
Jeremy Stoll, Vincent Price, and Harold
Vincent Price.
Yep. Opening,
How long has he been gone now?
Vincent Price. I don't know. He was born in 1911. I know.
Yeah, but I mean, how long has he been born? Oh, Dee Dee has a few Tonys. Oh, this is crazy.
I'm sure she does.
Okay.
Opening on this date is Of the Fields Lately, opened in 1980. Do black patent leather shoes really reflect up? Opened in 1982. And I really wonder, I have not heard any of the music from this. This was a hit in, I want to say Chicago.
I think
so. It was one of these shows that did really, really well out of town and flopped on Broadway.
But it's interesting because there's a lot of shows that do really, really well on Broadway, like Kimberly Akimbo, and do not translate when it's out of town. It's so strange.
Yep. And then also opening in 1976 was a play called Something's Afoot.
Oh, we've played something. We've played stuff from that
have,
before.
And we're going to play the same song again.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Look at me with that memory. It's still working.
Oh, I thought I thought I had the little PDF.
Something's afoot. You can't find it.
Yeah, but let's let's take a break and we'll listen to. Oh, I didn't write it down, but it is The Man with the Ginger Mustache from Something's Afoot. We'll be right back.
The Man with the Ginger Mustache.
We are back. That was Nicole singing.
Turn on your radio.
You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on 91.7 in Austin, Texas. We are having so much fun here.
It's so weird. I never put the headphones on, and now
I know we have headphones.
I feel like
because of our guest. We have a guest on the phone.
On the phone.
And I'm going to introduce that person right now. We have John Cook. Hi, John.
Howdy.
Oh, good.
Oh, John's
can y'all hear me okay?
We can. Can you hear us?
Wait, I can't hear him.
I can hear you just great.
You control your own volume on there. So, John is, I guess you're the brains behind Half-Baked Shakes, correct?
Sure. I wouldn't say brains. Maybe more brawn than brains.
I'm going to say brains. But also, two of the company members here that are part of the show, Midsummer Night's Dream. We have Lily Persifield. Welcome back, Lily.
Thank you.
And Megan Majors.
Hello.
Have you been on the show before, Megan?
No.
Oh, good. We'll see. Good.
Really?
We have to have a new person every time. So, John, you're doing Midsummer Night's Dream. That's a new play, right?
Oh, yeah. It's we've been in development for about 2 months, workshopping this brand new piece. No, it's way older than dirt.
Way older than dirt. It's by William Shakespeare, amongst others.
Yes.
So tell us about what's making this special. What makes this particular performance special?
Yeah, so the whole idea for this started last fall. I mean, it's not a new idea. There are a lot of companies around the country that do this. But I had a whim to try to get together a group of actors to learn a play, a Shakespearean play, and then show up to a venue and perform it without any proper rehearsal. So what's going to happen this round is we're doing Midsummer. We're roping in a local bluegrass band as well to kind of do some scoring. But we're going to be performing this in two different locations, bar locations, and the company of actors will have never run the show before together. The night before, we might get together, or we are going to get together and run through some stuff, but for the most part, what the audience sees the night they show up, it's the only time that's going to happen.
Amazing. So, Lily, you and Megan are both performers in it. Mm-hmm. Lily, what are you playing?
I'm playing Helena.
You're playing Helena. And Megan?
I am playing Oberon.
Oberon. What fun.
Yeah,
so
fun.
Now, and John, you're also in it?
Yeah. I'm playing a smaller role. I'll be Francis Sloot, one of the Rude Mex.
Yeah. And we have Rude Mex right here in Austin.
Bum, bum.
Okay, put on bum, bum. So, all right. So I understand that you're doing this without rehearsal, but, are you memorizing lines?
Yes.
Okay. So
So the goal is that everyone's going to be off book, and we have a volunteer each night who's going to be following along in case an actor needs to call a line. Miraculously we did Twelfth Night in the fall, and, both Lily and Megan were in that and were incredible.
No
we,
doubt.
We didn't. I don't think we called line at all. We didn't really need anyone there. But yeah, so the actors show up fully memorized and off book. So yeah, it's totally unscripted.
So
totally no books held.
So y'all have. Were you also in Twelfth Night, John?
No, I wasn't that time.
Okay, great. Well, so the two of you have done this before. Mm-hmm. So had you done a thing like this prior to that?
No.
So I know if it were me, I would be...
Freaking.
So
shall I answer that for you?
Having done this before, do you feel like, oh, we got this, it's no problem? Or are you still kind of going... That's weird. And then, actually, it's a multi-part question. Take it however you want. But I would think the director in me wants to say, this is just going to be chaos on stage. So back in the day, they didn't have directors. In Shakespeare's day, they did not have directors.
Midsummer's is a little chaos.
It is chaotic. Yeah. So answer all of those questions.
Yes. Okay. Well, I would say I kind of love the adrenaline rush of it. So, you know, it's like, yeah, we've done it before, but that was 12th Night. Okay, we're
it's
talking about it.
Show.
It's a totally different show, new lines.
Yeah, this one's like 13th Night.
Yes, exactly. New blocking to make up on the spot. So, yeah, I like that there's the sort of adrenaline rush element.
I think what's really nice about it is Shakespeare, you can kind of get in your head about it sometimes as an actor.
Yes,
and I think what I really liked about doing this unrehearsed Shakespeare 12th Night last year was like I really finally found the play in Shakespeare. Mm. And I think as an actor, I felt a block towards it. So when John offered for me to come on to 12th Night, I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to just have fun with Shakespeare. And I just was, it's so great to be surprised by your fellow actors in the moment because you literally do not know what's going to happen.
Well, that is a great question. As we all know that through the rehearsal process and when you're working with your fellow actors, you have a rapport, you feed and you learn off the characters off of each other. You don't have that opportunity this time. And I guess I can only talk about it historically because you did it the 12th night before. Were there surprises? Were there surprises that go both directions? Like, oh, I wish my fellow actor did not make that choice.
I mean,
oh, Lisa.
I will say it, one of the funnest scenes to do like was with Malvolio and Olivia and that whole scene with the letter and just not knowing like what was going to happen and trying to keep on my toes and not let my fellow actor like fall or whatever. I think there was a moment where we skipped like a whole chunk.
Probably.
Yeah, we skipped a whole chunk. And it was really funny because we had like none of the props that we needed. So there was like this big lull of like, okay, come here. And it was like really funny to, I don't know, see it happen. Cause I was like a big, how are we going to keep the food up or yeah.
So John, I don't know if you know this or not, but Shakespeare's work is in the public domain. People often take, people often
thank
take
goodness, right? You won't be in trouble.
People often take liberties with, the words, they take liberties with, you know, the dates and a lot of stuff. So with no director, so do the actors just show up and somebody's coming in a 1920s costume and another person's coming in an Elizabethan costume and we just have to make that work?
That's a great question, Lisa. The last time we did this and this time too, I've encouraged like some of the actors to get together and kind of talk about some of these things. So there's not necessarily a design pathway, but we've kind of agreed aesthetically, at least on a kind of a central, like, you know, it's the common ground of like what we're going to do when it comes to wardrobe, when it comes to dialects. You know, when we did 12th Night, Lily, actually, you started a group thread and, because her and the actor Brennan playing, what's the brother's name?
Sebastian. Oh, yeah,
Sebastian.
I was Viola.
Yeah.
I didn't think I said that.
Viola and Sebastian, y'all had a pair of shirts that matched, and they're twins. And so it's just like, well, hey, what if we do like a beach theme? And everybody was just like, yeah, sure.
Okay.
So basically,
so it's like
it
a themed
like
party, but
like,
you just
people...
don't know what everybody's wearing. You have a theme, and then
exactly.
you just stay in that.
Well, it sounds like
yeah. And I...
Go ahead. Sorry, yeah, we have a little delay.
I'm sorry. I think what's so fun about you know that kind of as an approach is, you know, everybody when they're approaching their work as an actor is has a world of possibility and choices, and you know, when we're coming in blind, you get to see that kind of the id of each one coming out. So, but yeah, so there's a little conversation, there's some side talk, some kind of plan coming up. When we show up, we don't really know what's going to happen.
Well, I don't want to say, I want to make sure that you are aware that my feelings are not hurt, that you didn't have me play Puck. I'm fine with it.
She's lying.
I was busy that day.
She's lying.
Actually, we are running out of time. Tell us, you said, I have you playing at Radio East, but you said in the lead up to this that you're playing two different places. Where else are you playing?
Yeah. Sunday night's at Radio East, and then Monday night is going to be at Cherrywood Coffee House. Actually.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah. Neighbors here.
Mm-hmm. Great. And where can folks go to get more information about this show?
Yeah, I guess the best place would either be, I mean, we are on Instagram. The handle is Half Baked Shakes. Or you can go to each of those venues' websites, and they have details about that specific night.
Right.
And how you can, you know, support the initiative.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Seems like a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing it, hopefully. Great. That was John Cook, Willie Persifield, and Megan Majors of Halfback Shakes, production of Midsummer Night's Dream, on the 21st at Radio East and on the 22nd at Cherrywood. For more information, look up the Halfback Shakes Instagram. Did I get the dates wrong?
On the 31st and the 1st.
31st and 1st. Sorry. I
was impressed that you did that all in memory.
Yeah, well, I have one of them. Anyway, so from Be More Chill, the opposite of what they're doing, this song is called I Love Play Rehearsal. We'll be right back.
I love play rehearsal because you are equipped.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We're here.
That looks like so much fun.
Indeed, indeed.
And I just heard as they were leaving the studio, Megan admitted to us that she's just starting to memorize her lines today.
Well,
I don't know.
That's pretty impressive.
The director in me had an off book date that was before today.
Well, maybe their director didn't have one because they're...
Because they don't
stuff.
They don't have a director.
Yeah.
True that.
True that.
Well, great. We've done another day.
Another hour. It's the end of the 17 years.
It's the end of the 17 year. We'll see y'all next season.
We become 18 and legal.
18th year. Coming up next here is What's New with Tracy Schultz.
Where he tells you.
What's new.
What's new.
And what we missed, what we didn't say thank you to Kim Simpson.
Oh, Kim Simpson. I was enjoying the musical choices today from the Kim Simpson.
Yes, it was a birthday show from a musician.
I love it.
Anyway, we're going to be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And this is from a new show, or actually it's not a new show, but it's a new recording of a show called Snow White and Me. And if you want to see a little bit of their staged reading, you can go to offstageonair.com and get a click to see a little YouTube performance of it. It looks like a lot of fun.
That's cool beans.
Obviously, it's a show based on Snow White. I do not think it's a kids' show, though.
No, that didn't sound like it from the title.
I think not.
Just had a feeling.
Yep. So we'll see you next week, everybody.
Au revoir.
I don't need a handsome prince. I'm happy as I am. I don't mean to be the fairest princess in the land. We followed all our stories and look where the path has led. So let's tear up the page. Go on, Cinderella. We don't have to be your stupid puppets to control. We can change our endings, change our faces, change our goals.